Welcome to Your Business or Your Life with Joshua D. Brewer, co-founder of The Patria Company, the podcast where we discuss real business issues and how they affect our lives as business owners, always keeping in perspective that our business is not our life. It is just a vehicle that we use to experience a better life.
Okay, here we are, son and father, JJ and Joshua Brewer. And welcome to episode 2 of Your Business or Your Life. Today we are discussing the topic, sales is not marketing. Okay, Dad, what's up with this topic?
Well, it's something that honestly I wish that I knew when I first got started with my quote-unquote real businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's really commonly misunderstood because the way that it's presented to us, as one term. Sales and marketing. Mm. And when I first got started just trying to get out there and get my businesses going, I didn't have a good understanding of the difference. And to be perfectly honest, I went to college much later, as you know. I was, you know, well on my way in my adulthood. I didn't even finish college. I was in my 30s. And although I had quite a bit more experience, even the college classes, the business classes that I went through, there wasn't a real good distinguishing marker between sales and marketing. And that's really what I want to discuss today, is I want to help anybody who has been in business for a long time, who's still kind of confused about the issue, and somebody especially who's just getting started to really know and get off on the right foot with understanding what is the difference between sales and marketing. When I suggested the title of Sales is Not Marketing, I really wanted to first identify what marketing is. And we can use a couple examples to kind of get the understanding and the ball rolling. Okay, so let's go back. We talked in episode 1 about some of my early years jobs that I had, or the businesses that I had started as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll never forget, I can see it in my mind, the ad. I cannot remember if it was in the back of a magazine or in the local newspaper or where it was, but it was something like, for me as a little kid, it was like my first, you know, get rich quick scheme ad, right? Mm-hmm. Make some money by doing this, right? And so what it was Grit newspaper. Now, I haven't looked up Grit newspaper in years. I have really no clue, you know, where they are, if they're still in existence or not. But what I did was I had to pay to have newspapers sent to me. I got a delivery of newspapers. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go out and I resold them. And I can't remember if I paid like a quarter a page and then I was charging 50 cents. It's been a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But I was literally knocking door to door, selling a newspaper that in my little town nobody had heard of. So I was selling that newspaper. Mm-hmm. Now contrast that with my other paper route, the one that I told you that was literally, they had squished two paper routes together and I had to get up every morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think, if I remember right, I think that at that time it was the Saturday paper that was the largest paper that I delivered. I think nowadays it's a Sunday paper, but when I was growing up, if I remember right, it was a Saturday paper. And that thing was so heavy, I had to get up a half an hour earlier because I couldn't like literally fit everything in. I had to pack them up and I had to like drop them off at a place, and then I had to go back and I was riding my bike. And so anyways, it was just, it was like a 3:30 in the morning job.
Wow.
And so, but in that situation, the paper company, if I remember right, I think it was the Portland Press Herald, that they had done their marketing. And when somebody saw the paper, whether it was in one of those, I don't know if you remember, had seen those newspaper, automated newspaper stands.
Yeah,
right?
I have seen one, yeah.
Put the quarters in it,
yeah.
You pull it open, and you just, on your honor.
Like the glass on the top so you can see the newspaper example. On the
right,
top.
You can see the headline, right? Yeah. It makes you want to actually go over and buy the paper, mm-hmm. right? Well, if you don't want to get up and if you just want to be able to, you know, stay in your pajamas and bathrobe in the morning and mm-hmm. just go outside and pick up your paper off the front porch or out of your mailbox and just enjoy the paper with your breakfast in the morning, well, then you got a subscription. But I didn't have to sell those. I was just delivering.
Yeah.
And the paper itself, I mean, I don't know that there was somebody going door to door selling Portland Press Heralds.
Mm-hmm.
People would just call. They just knew the paper existed. The brand had been marketed so well that when you knew you wanted the local paper, that's what you got. Mm-hmm. And you know, again, growing up in Maine, there wasn't a huge population, so there wasn't a huge amount of competition for things like who's going to deliver your local news or mm-hmm. your national news in a paper format. And that's, you know, that was it. The branding of the paper itself ended up allowing the paper to take, and we'll discuss this in a few minutes, take on a different sales tactic because it was branded.
Okay.
Now, let me give you another example. So, you know, everybody knows the big shoe manufacturers, and we could name, you know, several of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll try to refrain from giving anybody free advertising mm-hmm. on our podcast. You know, now, if they want to pay us, you know, then we can discuss that. But those ads, you see those athletes that are wearing those shoes, you know, they're on the TV. And of course, you know, for me growing up, that was the main way that a company would brand or market who they were. Now, when you went to the shoe store prior to the internet,
mm-hmm.
you didn't know what type of shoe you were going to get. You know, you maybe as a kid, your foot is growing. You don't even know the size mm-hmm. of your foot until you go in there and get it remeasured, right? Mm-hmm. So what did you need? You needed a salesperson that was going to actually help you find the right shoe for what you did. Okay, so if you were in a hiking, then you would want a hiking shoe or a hiking boot. Now, many shoe manufacturers, again, the major ones, they're going to do both athletic shoes and they're going to do hiking boots and they're going to do aerobic shoes. They're going to have all these different types under the same brand.
Mm-hmm.
But you just may know, like I do, again, without saying, you know, which brand. There is a particular brand, because I have a particularly wide foot, that makes their shoes and their different the different applications of shoe designs mm-hmm. all in a width that I can fit into. And so I just know if I'm going to go, I'm going to be looking for this brand,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, that didn't happen accidentally. It happened because that company had invested a lot of money in sharing its brand and quality, having its shoes being used by very, very famous athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it and you say, that's got some credibility, right? So there's some really important and basic aspects to marketing when it comes to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, going back to the things that I, you know, you're always asking yourself, you know, what would I do different if I knew then what I know now?
Yeah.
Right? So when I look now and I understand the importance of building the credibility of a brand, it is not simply plastering yourself all across whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? You can take out, back in the day, take out full page ads, you know, pay for the largest spot, like a full page spot in the Yellow Pages, mm-hmm. okay? And then when people are flipping through, they're going to be able to see you more easily. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, there's this formula. And we're going to be discussing this formula and you know more as we go along and we do some more teaching on marketing itself. Mm-hmm. But the formula is really pretty simple, right? When you are trying to share yourself and you're trying to take advantage of the mere exposure effect, right? The familiarity aspect of the psychology of the buying process. Mm-hmm. Having your brand in front of people is enormously important. And you have to be able to get your brand out there as much as possible. And again, the game has changed. The rules have not changed. The game has changed though. And the game has changed because of technology. Mm-hmm. We're able to tap into that psychological aspect of the mere exposure effect in a way that just never existed before all these advances in technology. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is when you look at the really, really big players, because of the amount of money that they have, they have been pretty much playing the same game for 30 years, 40 years. I mean, it has literally been just the same game. Find out where the eyeballs are at, get your brand in front of the eyeballs as much as you can, as much as you can, as much as you can. Mm-hmm. But then you ask yourself, how can a little alt news, if you're familiar with alternative news channels on okay. YouTube, right?
Yeah.
How can a little alt news channel spring up out of nowhere in somebody's closet, right? They're using a webcam and, you know, and just a very normal, non-totally beefed up computer, mm-hmm. you know? And all of a sudden, they can produce a 25, 30 minute interview of somebody important, and they can blow out the views in the millions mm-hmm. of a particular interview and crush the major news networks. How does that happen? 20 years ago, never would have happened. Mm. But the whole scenario has changed for marketing. And the problem that we now face is because marketing has become very commonplace. Meaning, when I was growing up, we had a very few mediums for branding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for instance, everybody loves free marketing, so you would do the best job you could and you try to get some referral marketing or some word of mouth marketing. That would be great. We used to try to pin up business cards in a restaurant. They used to have a free cork board and you could pin up your business card or a mm-hmm. flyer or something mm-hmm. and they would purge them. Mm-hmm. They would purge them every so often, keep the cork board fresh,
yeah.
right? They used to have, you could sponsor a placemat in mm-hmm. your local home-owned restaurant, right? And then the placemat would come and you would see on the placemat, you know,
that's what those are.
10 or 12 little ads on the placemat. Many times, like the high school yearbook, you could always put an ad in there. Mm-hmm. And some of these obviously were very, very low ROI. The return on investment was very low. Mm-hmm. And in some cases you did it just because you were supporting the local high school or, you know, your favorite restaurant. Mm-hmm. Some cases you really were trying to get new business. You were trying to get your name out there. But it all costs money. I mean, even just the business cards that you needed to invest in, printing costs nowadays have plummeted. Mm. I mean, what it used to cost to get, you know, a set of business cards printed at a print shop mm-hmm. on nice like cardstock paper mm-hmm. was like ridiculous compared to what you can do today. I mean, the gloss, I mean, I won't go into all the things you can do with business cards now, but I mean, it's just amazing what technology has allowed with the changes when it comes to marketing. 10 years ago, we saw a major shift. Now we have so many places where you can market your brand for free, completely for free. The game has really changed with that aspect of things.
Okay.
So the rule is still the rule. The rule being, we need to get our brand in front of as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what marketing is. But here's the problem. Marketing is not sales. So in today's technology, in today's day and age, you have so many people, and you do not have to look very far at all to be on YouTube and to find people that are telling you all of these different ways to market your brand, get your brand out there,
mm-hmm.
market. Well, then you have the big question, okay, so I got somebody's attention, now what do I do? And what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Because sales is not marketing. Marketing is not sales. So what do we really mean by this? Number one, sales can, in a very, very simplistic sense, can be broken down into two main categories, okay? You have order takers and you have consultative sales, okay? So mm-hmm. back to the story of going to the shoe store, all right? I knew all my friends had this brand of shoe. I need to have that brand of shoe to be in the cool group, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I needed to go and I needed to look for that type of shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go and you talk to the salesperson. The salesperson measures your foot. The salesperson, you know, goes and, you know, asks you, you know, do you play sports? You know, do you hike? Do mm-hmm. you know, whatever, you ride bikes? You know, are you just, like there was a thing back in the day when you had to wear non-marking shoes in the gym, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're choosing, the salesman's doing that. The salesman's listening to your needs, and then the salesman is going to go with their expertise. They're going to find the right one. They bring it out, and you're like, ooh, I don't like that color. That's the worst color in the world. I mean, everyone's going to make fun of me if I wear that color shoe, mm-hmm. right? Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me go find another shoe. And then, you know, so then the salesperson is there. They already know that you're a hot lead,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you're interested. You're here to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my job to make sure that you're going to be happy with what you purchase as a salesperson,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now that's really, really different from going to the grocery store. So you're, you know, sitting down and just watching TV, right? Before there was all the YouTube, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching TV and you're seeing the ads for the detergents and you're seeing the ads for the granola bars and the ads for the breakfast cereals mm-hmm. and all of these things. And then you're going through the aisles with your little cart, and everything that is at eye level. What's at eye level at the grocery store?
Probably the most popular stuff.
Everything that's on the TV.
Mm.
Don't kid yourself. Those brands are on where they're at on the shelf for a reason,
mm.
right? And where do you find the brands that are actually probably white labeled from the same manufacturer
mm-hmm.
and a lot less money? Down on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? That's just the industry. It's the way that it works.
Mm-hmm.
But in your mind, again, the mere exposure effect, that psychological effect of familiarity, you're walking along, you're seeing all those brand names, you've looked at them, they make them look so delicious,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they make your clothes look so sparkling clean.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk through the aisle and you see it and you just pick it up. No one had to sell it to you, right? But the marketing, the process of doing the marketing doesn't finalize a sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's just branding. It's just marketing. the sales process when you're at the grocery store. The cashier, all they're doing is just taking your order. Mm-hmm. You're just coming in. There's no negotiating. There's no second touch, if you will. So that's another whole aspect to sales. Consultative sales process is always going to have multiple touches. Mm-hmm. So even when you go into the shoe store and you're looking for a particular brand of shoe, if they don't have it there, they may offer to order it for you. So mm-hmm. you really like this particular shoe, but it's a half size too small. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, this is the one I want. Oh, we'll go ahead and order it for you and we'll let you know when it comes in. Mm-hmm. So it's an important aspect to know that you have got to do a really, really good job of taking care of that customer so that they'll actually come back in, because they're not like putting necessarily on shoes, in an example, they're not putting money down. Mm-hmm. You're just saying, I'll order it, I'll call you. And hopefully they don't go somewhere else and find it and say, oh yeah, I already found it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Oh man, right? What a bummer for that shoe store owner.
Yeah.
And so we have to recognize that, I mean, there is a lot of aspects to sales, but so this is just the real basics, right? But it's the basics of what I didn't understand early on in my career as an entrepreneur. I didn't understand because I had been for so long in the selling process. Early on, again, with the Grit newspaper, worked at a paint store, worked at a jewelry store, was in Amway doing the multi-level marketing. There's a lot of direct sales involved in that adventure. And then, of course, as a business owner, you're finding people and you're telling them about your products, you're telling them about your services, and you're selling all the mm-hmm. time selling. That concept of what was really marketing and where were the appropriate places to brand and market your product 25 years ago, I mean, that was like, you really didn't even think about it that much, because you knew, I mean, okay, so I can put my stuff in a newspaper, I can put my brand into the yellow pages, but I'm trying to have a market that's the entire state, mm-hmm. right? Well, I mean, that's going to cost a heck of a lot of money to be in every single newspaper mm-hmm. or in every single yellow pages. So we had to try to leverage the early internet, mm-hmm. try to get out there and make a web page, try to figure out how to get the search engines to actually find your website and list it, right? This is early, early on. But it was just something that was, because it was like the wild, wild west, it wasn't really clearly cut. How do we get out there and market a brand without it costing you a mint when you're just trying to start a business, mm-hmm. right? It was tough. But now that game has completely changed. And because of that, we have a lot of startups, a lot of people that are failing for a completely different reason. Mm-hmm. So before, right, you would just be out there hustling and you would do everything you could to try to sell, because marketing was expensive. And now people are finding opportunities to market for free, and they're putting so much time into so much marketing, they haven't crafted the selling skills. Mm. They just don't know how to close a sale. And then when it comes to making sure that what you're actually marketing is lining up with the way that you're gonna sell something, there's a disconnect. Mm. So hopefully what we're gonna be able to do is, as we move through this, and one of the next things we're gonna talk about is some real specifics with regards to the construction industry. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be following up in the next episode, which is going to be for our contractor series, talking about specifics of how marketing ties into sales. Again, making sure there's a clear, distinct line between the two mm-hmm. that we know.
Could you just touch on that real quick? How would you define just a simple definition of what the real difference between sales and marketing is?
Yeah, so with all of those stories in place, right, mm-hmm. the simple definition is to say that marketing is how you make somebody aware mm-hmm. of you and the value you can bring to them and their needs. The sales process is you actually interacting with that person, or if you're B2B, that business, and actually bringing those products and services to them in a meaningful way where there's an exchange of tender. Because in marketing, there is no exchange. It's a one-way message. But the sales process is where you're actually interacting directly with your client or your customer. Mm-hmm. And it's two totally different things. We say sales and marketing, but it is not this, it's not a glob. Mm-hmm. They do not really overlap other than one leads to the other.
Okay.
That we can't get them out of order, right? So marketing leads to sales, but sales only leads to marketing when you have that as part of your system. When marketing, referral marketing, follow-up marketing, if you have some part of your system in place, then you can have sales that leads to marketing. But it starts, if we're talking about chicken and the egg, it starts with marketing. You need to start with explaining your brand to a large audience. We talk about creating a funnel. I mean, that is a word that is all over the internet, all over YouTube. You don't have to go far to be able to hear about funnels, right? And the whole concept is, with the wide part at the top of a funnel, you are seeing that as your audience that you're trying to get their attention is a large group. And then it narrows down, right? Just like a funnel narrows down, and you're going to have the group that's actually showing some interest, and then you're going to have a group that is going to actually become your leads, and then you're going to have a group that's your hot leads, and then you're going to have the group at the end of the funnel where you're actually getting them into the sales process, or the actual delivering your products and services to them side of the funnel. So that part of marketing is all at the very top of the funnel. That's the one of the biggest challenges that people, I think, as I've been, again, just dealing with the clients that I've been dealing with for so many years, that is the biggest thing that I'm seeing over and over and over again, is that companies that have some tenure, companies that have been around for a while, and that they're used to the sales process being a certain way, they're just not understanding yet how does all this technology, how is the internet really changing? They see it, but they're just not quite seeing how to connect those dots for their company. That's really, from a practical standpoint, that's what, again, we're gonna talk about this in the next episode for our contractor series. But for every company that's out there, recognize that it is that very top layer. How can you structure in your marketing strategy a process of sharing the core aspects of what you do with a very, very large audience? If you're working locally, then you need to look at where are the people in your local area congregating. Right? Even if it's Facebook group, you know, maybe there's something on LinkedIn where you know that that people within your local area are actually on LinkedIn and they're connecting there. There's opportunities, but it is up to each business owner to start to identify where people in their local community, if that's where they're actually going, or maybe they have a niche and it's a very, very broad location, so you're really not going to be looking at location as your medium, your main keyword, if you will, for trying to find those and attract those people. You may be looking for a certain set of keywords that really identify with your marketplace and where they're at. But that's the first key, the first, very first thing in a really strong marketing strategy, is identifying that target market and then determining where are they at. Where are they, so that you can build that marketing strategy? But a lot of people just jump right into that funnel, and they think that I'm talking to this person, I'm talking to that person, you know, that's my sales and marketing, and it's incorrect. is just incorrect. And that's what frustrates a lot of people who have been around for a long time, because they're just selling, but the funnel just seems to have less and less and less people, because there are other people who are understanding how to market with the new technology, and they're just sucking people off onto their funnels. And it's frustrating for people who've been around for a long time, and they have a great reputation, they do great work, but they've misunderstood how technology has changed the way to market.
Okay, so looks like we've run out of time for this episode, so hop on over to the next podcast. But before you leave, make sure to stop by patriaco.com and ask all of your most challenging business questions. Because we will be answering them all anonymously, make sure to ask with as much detail as you can spare, so that we can give the most detailed answer for you and anyone like you that may be in a similar situation. Again, this has been JJ and Joshua Brewer on Your Business or Your Life.
See you next time.
Thank you for investing some of your day with us. If you would like to ask a question anonymously, please visit patriaco.com. That's patriaco.com, and open a support ticket with your question. To listen to more episodes of Your Business or Your Life, please visit podcast.patriaco.com. Again, that's patriaco.com. To connect with Joshua directly on LinkedIn, look him up at Joshua D. Brewer.